This is the Horse Radio Network.
When it comes to advertising your horse business, it's so important to understand who your audience is and what your goals are before you start throwing money at advertising. I recently sat down with Denise Alvarez of Storm Lily Marketing to talk about three questions you should ask yourself before you start spending money on any form of ads. Plus, we'll talk about the three methods we recommend that you consider first. If you're ready to stop aimlessly spending money on ads that don't work or aren't converting, then this episode is for you.
Welcome to the Leadline Podcast, the show where we believe that running your own horse business should feel less like a chore and more like the life you've always dreamed of. Join us as we share valuable advice on how to become more focused, more organized, and more profitable in your horse business. And now, here's your host, Mandy Flanders.
Hi, I'm Mandy, and welcome to the Leadline Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Denise Alvarez, who is from Storm Lily Marketing. How are you today, Denise?
Hey, Mandy, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you because we're going to dive into a topic today that is something that I just really love talking about, which is marketing and advertising. Why don't you tell us a little bit first about what you do?
Sure, I would love to. So through my business, Storm Lily Marketing, I have the honor of helping horse business owners with their marketing. Specifically, I work with them on their website content and design, and then I provide business coaching, and then we also do email marketing strategy. So helping them to figure out how to build an email list and then what to actually do with that when they have it. And then I also have a podcast too, which is called How to Market Your Horse Business, where we also talk all things marketing there.
Awesome. Well, marketing is such an important part of business. And for some people, it comes really naturally. And for others, it's something they need a little bit of help with. So today we're going to focus again, specifically on advertising and where you should be advertising your horse business, as well as how to know, you know, how much money might be required to put forth into that. So let's talk first a little bit about the different types of advertising out there and how they might make sense for a horse business owner.
Sure. So generally speaking, you think online and print when you think marketing. So when you're looking at online, it could be social media. And then it also could be looking at different partners and advertising on their website. So whether it's publications or associations, but then we also shouldn't forget the local level. So yes, we have the national options, but then you've also got your local advertisements that you don't want to forget about because your business, your horse business may be on a local scale, which is awesome. And so you don't want to forget that audience as well. So it kind of goes the same way when you look at print. You've got your national publications, but then you've also got your local publications, whether it's your newspaper or you maybe have, depending on your area, a local ag guide or farm guide or things like that where you can get in and take advantage of advertising. So the other one that we'll talk about is podcasting, because now that that is becoming more of a common medium, then advertising can be a really good avenue for partnerships that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's a lot of different options out there. How does somebody know where to get started?
Yes. Well, I thought today we could talk about three questions that every horse business owner should ask when they're deciding where to advertise or how to advertise. And then we could talk about the top three advertising methods that any horse business owner should be considering when they look at their marketing budget.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. So the three questions they should ask. First of all, the most important question, honestly, that is overlooked a lot of times is stopping to ask, who is my audience? So this is a big, obviously, marketing question in general that when we have this conversation, when I talk with horse business owners, they really appreciate it because it's one that people jump over. But when you stop and really consider who is it that you're talking to and then take it a step further and say, where are they? Where are the people that I want to talk to in my advertising? Then you're able to really get the most out of the money that you're putting in. So some of the questions that I guide people through are to consider the demographics. What is the age group of the people that you're wanting to reach with your advertising? What is the gender? Maybe you have a product that's gender specific, or maybe you don't have one that's gender specific, but you have found there's a certain gender that resonates well or best with your product, then maybe that's a direction you should go and think about that. And then you also want to think about, you know, are there certain breeds that you're speaking to? Are there certain disciplines that you're speaking to? Are there certain interests? Maybe you have a natural supplement. Well, that's a different interest base than some other products. So again, you want to stop and think about who is it that you're actually speaking to and answer some of these questions before you go and start throwing your money out the door. And then in line with that, like I said, think about who you're talking to and then think about where are they at? Where are they hanging out? If it's online, which online platforms are they hanging out in? Are they on Instagram? Maybe they're on Facebook. Maybe they're in Facebook groups. Maybe they're in a different platform. Really think about where they are. And then same for print. So what kinds of things are they reading? And one of the best tips that I give people that is to just get on the phone. Find some of the clients that you already have or customers that you already have and ask them, hey, what kind of things do you read? What are your favorite publications? You know, if you have a weekend and you're pulling out a magazine, what is it? When you're looking for a resource for what I'm providing, what is it? Where do you go? And if you can find out where the people that you want to target are already hanging out, then that's going to give you a big direction of where you should go with your advertising.
Those are all so many different, you know, important factors to consider. If you're starting out from scratch with a brand new business, though, maybe you have a new product or service and you aren't yet sure who that audience is. I know that sometimes those, you know, very early entrepreneurs are trying to figure that out. Like, where is my audience and who are they? What are some tips that you have for someone that's brand new to business and they need to figure out who their audience is, but they don't have a customer to ask?
Sure. So what I do is call that your best fit audience. So I say, think about the people that are the best fit for what you're creating. And to be honest, I still say, get on the phone after you've figured out your best fit. So if you figure out your best fit and you're saying, okay, I know it's a barrel racer who's probably in her mid-30s, then go find one and get on the phone with her or email. You know, I know phone's not always the easiest. Maybe shoot an email, maybe shoot a Facebook message. Say, hey, I just have a couple questions. Can I just ask you, you know, I'm creating this product. It's going to help people like you. Even if you're starting out, obviously offer that product for free to a few of those people. Make sure that it is a good fit. You know, that's a great way to get that feedback too. You know, get that in their hands, ask if it, you know, what they like about it, what they don't like about it. And then if they're a best fit, then ask them those questions as well. You know, if you were going to look for something like this, who would you listen to? You know, if you're reading an article, you know, who do you trust? What publications do you trust the most that I should be advertising in? And then go that direction. But that's a really good thought that, yeah, you may not have customers that you can call yet, but you can still create a profile of the customer that's the best fit for what you're creating. Because hopefully, whatever it is that you're creating, you've already thought a little bit about who you're serving. You know, you're not, you know, we hear all the time about it's like throwing spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks. That's what happens if you don't think about your audience. Literally, whether it's your product, your service, or your advertising, if you are not thinking about who you're talking to and who you're selling to, then you're just hoping it's going to sell, but you have absolutely no idea. And especially if you're creating a product, you do not want to invest that kind of money, you know, into products. They cost a lot more to create than service, right? So you don't want to do that if you haven't figured out exactly who it is that you're targeting yet.
So finding out who your audience is one of the steps that you really should be taking right away in the very beginning before you ever start doing anything.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yep. It's key. It really, really is. And you know, it helps build upon everything else that you're doing, especially when it comes to marketing.
Absolutely. So what are a couple of the other things that people should be looking at before they start looking at advertising?
Sure. You bet. So the next question is going to be, what's your objective? So again, I know some people might hear this and be thinking, okay, I thought we were going to be talking about advertising. This sounds so general. But here's the thing. When you create your ads, and we're going to talk about different advertising methods next, but before you even start to create those ads, if you do not have a goal in mind of why you're out there doing it, then you're just kind of throwing your money out the door. So for example, some advertising objectives might be, if you are a stud farm, then you're saying, I'm going to put this money out there and I want to get X number of calls back for potentials that are going to come to my breeding farm. If you have a product, then maybe you have a sales number and maybe you're pushing a particular product. So if you have an e-commerce store, you're not just going to say, hey, we have all these things. You're probably going to pick a couple of products that you're going to put out there and feature. So maybe you're going to have a sale and the goal of that particular advertisement is going to be pushing a particular product. I also always say to have, have your objective mind and then have a way to track it. So don't just put things out there, but maybe you have, for example, if you're doing a sale, maybe you have them use a special code and that code is specific to that particular advertisement that you have out there. And especially if you're doing multiple advertisements, then you can figure out which ones are working, where are your sales coming from, where are your new connections coming from. The same, honestly, if you have a service, I say don't undervalue the freebie. So if you have something free that you can send people to your website to get before they even have to call you and ask for a quote, then that's a good way to get them from the ad to your website and even into that email list that I talk about on my podcast, because you're going to make those connections and you may think, well, I don't have a product, so I can't put a special code out there. And so that's one way that you can do that is send them to your website for a specific freebie. Make that link that you put on that page very simple. So something I've seen some advertisers do is have a really long URL and people just aren't going to remember that. And they're not going to take the time to type that into their phone, which is most of the time where that traffic is going to come through is on their mobile phone. So make it a very short URL and make it maybe associated with the publication that you're in. So maybe it's your website /Horse Illustrated/AQHA/whatever it might be. Then you make it super easy for people to take action, but you also make it easy for you to track and make sure that you're hitting the goals that you set up ahead of time. Because if you're putting ads out there, but you have no way to track if they're working, then you have no way to see if you've met your goals.
There's different types of campaigns too. There's campaigns that you might be looking to, you know, convert into real sales right away. And then there's more of the long-term game where you might be doing something more for brand awareness.
Exactly.
So is that advertising avenue accurate for what they're actually looking to get from it? Because with the brand awareness campaigns, that's really just to get people talking about you. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see instant results. And so let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, and actually, before I jump into that, I want to piggyback on what you said, because the other campaign idea that some people might have is goodwill. So if you look at, for example, a local rodeo or a 4-H or something like that, that's going to be advertising dollars if you choose to put a banner out there. And you may just be doing that for goodwill. And like you said, you may be doing that for awareness. So I wanted to piggyback on that because that's a great point. I talked about goals and conversions, but certainly there might be other ways that you're choosing to use your advertising dollars. But as long as you know your goal ahead of time, then it's going to help you to know which direction you should go with that.
What's your third question?
Okay. So third question actually is asking about budget. So, you know, that is going to vary greatly. And I get that. So honestly, somebody starting out, if they say, well, I only have a $500 advertising budget, that's not the end of the world, especially online. It can be really affordable. And so it's okay if that's 500 and it's okay if that's 5,000. Just know ahead of time what you hope to spend. And ideally, if you can even look at it from like a quarterly perspective. So it might be hard to plan out your entire year because you're saying, well, it depends. If I have a really good first quarter, then I have more the rest of the year. So maybe just look at it on a quarterly basis, but essentially you still want to know, how much money do I have to spend? So when I look at all these different options, I know what's even feasible for me.
The other thing that can come up is that it gets very easy to just throw money at advertising and not realize how much you're spending overall. So the budget portion is super important because at the end of the year, when you go to, you know, do your books, if you haven't kept up with them, but that's a different topic.
another podcast episode for you.
But if you're looking at your spend over the year and you're like, wow, I spent a lot of money, I didn't see the results, that's where it can get very easy to be throwing money, like your analogy with throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks. You could also be throwing money at the wall and not know how much money you're throwing away.
So true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So knowing ahead of time, will definitely help with that.
Mm-hmm. So what are some advertising methods that you recommend? Because when we first started talking, you shared all of these different ways that a horse business owner could advertise. But I have a feeling there are going to be some different forms of advertising that don't necessarily make sense for an equestrian business. Like, for example, I feel like not too many equine businesses would benefit from having a billboard on the highway necessarily.
Yeah.
So something like that.
Yeah. Well, and it depends, and that's where it goes to your audience and your product. So for example, my mother-in-law lives in Texas. And so obviously, and she's in Fort Worth. So, you know, Boo Barn and all those are all considered equine businesses. They're on a whole nother level sometimes, but they have their billboards and so they do have their place, but you're right. For your audience, most likely that's not going to be the case. So let's look at three of the top methods that I've written down. And then I have one at the end that I'll say, you may notice I didn't say this and here's why, because it might surprise some people. So the first one that I think everybody should look at, because it's easy to do, frankly, is social media advertising. So most often that's Facebook, but also you have LinkedIn and you have Instagram. You and I talked earlier, Twitter is out there, but it may not be where your people are hanging out. But if your people are hanging out there, then look at it. But social media in general is a great place. And part of that is because it's a low cost of entry. So everybody has seen the little option on your page to say boost post, or even on your Instagram. If you have note, it has to be a business profile, of course, if you want to do advertising on Instagram. So just an FYI, some people don't want to change their profile from business, from personal to business. But you can always do it with your Facebook page first and test out the waters. But you see that little boost post option there. And I always say, just don't be afraid to just try that out, because that is the easiest way. You don't have to get into the Facebook Ads Manager, which can be overwhelming. But it's a good way to get in front of your audience. So I'll give an example. You and I talked earlier, I acquired the How to Market Your Horse Business Facebook page last year as a part of launching the podcast. And that page has over 10,000 likes, but I know not all of those people are engaged on that page. So what I've started doing is boosting my posts that are already getting some engagement. So there's another quick tip for you. Don't take a post that's kind of dead. Like if it's not doing well, then don't try to boost it, because you're not going to get your money's worth and it's not going to increase engagement at all. Instead, take something that where you can keep the ball rolling a little bit. So I'm trying to just take some of my engaging posts and boost those for a few days to my existing audience. So not to new people, but I'm boosting it to people who have already liked the page, because I know that they're in my target audience because they liked the page to begin with. They're just not actively involved. If I can get them actively involved again, then organically they'll start to see my stuff on a regular basis. So that's a simple, I mean, I'm literally $15. $15 in 3 days, and I can get it in front of a couple thousand people. You know, so it's so doable. Now again, that's, you know, I might be talking to somebody who's saying, okay, that's great for you, Denise, but I have a page of a couple thousand that I grew organically. What do I need to do? Well, A, you probably are not getting all 2,000 people seeing your stuff. Like that's just not how Facebook or social media works. So you still could choose to boost to those people, but you can also boost to what's called a like audience. So you can say, show this content to people that are like the people that have liked my page. And that'll help to get you in front of new people as well. But either way, the point here is that advertising on social media is a really simple and effective way to just put your toe in the water when it comes to advertising. It's also quick. So you're not having to go to a graphic designer all the time and have them create an ad for you. You're not having to wait for it to go into a print publication. It's something you can do fairly quickly. And then you can also get them to link directly to your website. So it's a great way to get people to click over and learn more about you. Maybe you have a sale that's going on. You want to create a post for that and then put that up there and get people to link over to your sale. But social media is just one that you just can't talk about advertising and not mention these days.
Yeah, for sure. The other fact is, like you said, $15. It's very inexpensive to boost a post. You honestly, if you're throwing a bunch of money at it in the beginning, Don't do that, because you need to first see if your ads are performing. So don't think that you need a $500 budget to run a big ad campaign on Facebook. In fact, what I've heard from the experts that do Facebook advertising full time is that, you know, throw a few small campaigns out, throw 10 bucks at them, $5 or $10, because Facebook has to work harder to show it to people. And then you'll see what your results look like as a result of doing tinier campaigns. So that's very cost effective. And just something you can experiment with for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, and I'm sure you've heard this listening to the Facebook advertising experts, Apple has come out with some changes this year to their system in terms of tracking. And so the targeting that's going to be allowed through Facebook might change. So if you are a business and you had, I'm sure anyone who's tried Facebook advertising knows what the pixel is. So it's just this little code that hangs out on your website, and it tells Facebook that people have been on your website so that you can look at the effectiveness of your advertising. So you can see, okay, Jane Smith clicked on my ad. She went to my website. She bought these products. That was all a result of my Facebook ad. And that's great. However, a lot of times Jane Smith didn't always know she was being tracked. And so that's why Apple has come up with, people are going to have to start saying on the Apple iPhone anyways, yes, I want to be tracked outside of Facebook. And if people say, no, I don't, then Jane Smith might go to your website. You're never going to know if she bought as a result of your ads. However, that doesn't mean people shouldn't advertise on social media. It just means you kind of have to change your game plan a little bit. So you may not be able to track that, but you can track things within Facebook. So you can still track their clicks, and maybe you're just going to change the type of ads that you're going to do, because you can still see, Facebook can still see what Jane Smith is doing inside of Facebook. So mm-hmm. if you want to target people that have liked a certain page inside of Facebook, if they have had certain activity inside of Facebook, it'll be easier to target. It does throw a little bit of kink in there. So I can't help but share that, at least for people who have maybe heard some rumors and are saying, yeah, but what does that really mean for me if this is happening? So something to be aware of, but it doesn't mean you have to be scared.
Sure. And some people may not even dive that deep into Facebook advertising and that, you know, all of the details behind that change. But mm-hmm. again, you don't have to throw a lot of money at it. So try it exactly. and see if it works. And then mm-hmm. if you want to get really good at Facebook advertising, then reach out to a Facebook ad expert, because Facebook advertising is really its own beast, as I like to say.
It really is. Yeah, for sure. All right.
So what else have you got?
Our second one. So the next one is actually not a print versus online method. And this one is actually for you to consider advertising with a certain group. And that would be associations. So associations are so beautiful because they are a targeted group of people who have common interests already. And 9 times out of 10, associations have advertising opportunities available to you. So for example, you might be able to just get into their email newsletter that they send out. So that's a cost-effective way to put a little snippet in there, maybe about a product or service that you have that you're featuring, and you can get that into a targeted group of people that are in line with that best fit audience that we talked about. And then, of course, they do have a website. And so a lot of times those associations have advertising spots on their website. And then, of course, you have print publications as well. But I think that so often when we think about advertising, somehow our minds kind of skip over this group, but it's such an integral part, especially in the equine world. Like, there are so many thriving associations in the equine industry. And so they're a really great place to get in, start making connections, because here's the other byproduct of that is you're going to get in and connect with those people that you're wanting to serve, build some relationships, and then they may even have other avenues for advertising that you didn't even know existed until you just got your hands in there and got a little dirty with it.
Do you have any specific associations that you particularly like or recommend? I know this is going to vary based on the person's type of business, but let's just say you obviously you do marketing, website design. What kind of associations do you like as a service provider?
Yeah. Well, you know, one I'm really excited about that you all probably have a relationship with, I think, Certified Horsemanship Association, because they have a large group of people that are horse business owners, which is who I am looking to serve all the time. And so they have an e-blast that you can get into. They have publications, and they have quite a big media kit, actually, but it's affordable. And so, and it's your target market, but that's a national one. So obviously, but then, you know, if you're somebody that is specific to the Western world, then obviously AQHA is where you need to be and hang out. But then, you know, as we know, there are pockets inside of that too. So you've got your Cow Horse Association and you've got your Reining Horse Association. And then I just connected with somebody the other day that's in the Western Dressage Association. And then, of course, you have the English world out there too. So that's where it's good to know which direction you're wanting to go with breed or discipline, because if you're wanting to like target inside of associations, you're going to have probably better success if you really know where your people are hanging out at.
So what's your last one?
All right. So this one is, I kind of mentioned earlier, and it is podcasts. So again, kind of outside of that print versus online realm, but I thought it was an important one to bring up because especially, you know, as we talked, I just started my How to Market Your Horse Business podcast last year. You're starting your podcast here in early 2021, and constantly we're seeing new podcasts pop up. And so what that means is new opportunities for audiences and new opportunities for connections and partnerships. So a lot of people, when they think of podcast advertising, well, A, they may not quite think of it yet. But B, if it's somebody that is thinking about it, say they listen to podcasts and they're thinking, well, yeah, I've heard that, but it sounds so different. Like you have your pre-roll ads and then you have your mid-roll ads and then you have the end, but it doesn't have to be so official. So maybe you're going to reach out to a host that talks to people that are in your audience and say, hey, could we put together a partnership? Could you interview me? You know, if you have something of value to share, maybe you could be interviewed on someone's podcast. Or it may be that they bring you on in the beginning. You know, I've heard some people, the host will interview the advertiser and they will say up front, you know, this podcast episode is brought to you by such and such business. I've brought the owner so-and-so on to share about their product. So, and then you have a 5 or 10 minute conversation. The best thing you can do, honestly, if you get that opportunity is to tell success stories. So don't make it sound like an ad that goes on and on about your product, but instead show people what your product can do for them and get them to go to your website to get the product details. Because really the goal, if you're going to do podcast advertising, the goal is for them to actually take another action. So it's not like on a website where they easily just click. So your podcast ads need to actually entice people to go to your website for a reason. So another thing you can do is offer a special deal. So you tell the host, hey, we can put together a partnership. And well, a couple things, I guess. You could do a referral program if you wanted, but then you could also say, I will give your listeners a special code. And so then they put that special code out there on the podcast. And when people go to your website and put in that code, then they get a deal. And then you also have a way to track if that's working in terms of that partnership. But I just think that podcasts are really a great avenue that is often overlooked. And especially as they continue to boom and grow, that it's a great place for people to get in on the ground and start advertising their horse business there.
What would you recommend for someone looking for a podcast to get involved with if they don't know where to start?
Kind of as before, I would say, well, A, look at where you're listening, because most likely, not always, but most likely, you're building a product for people that are kind of similar to you. So see what it is that you're listening to and if that's a good fit. And then the associations, like I mentioned, a number of associations are starting to come out with podcasts. So that might be a fit as well. And then again, ask those best fit audience people, you know, what if you're listening to a podcast, if you're ever on the road traveling and you're putting play on a podcast, what is it that you listen to? What's one that you don't want to miss? Because it's really growing. It's amazing. Honestly, even in the past 6 to 9 months, when I started my podcast and just doing my research at that time, up until now and seeing all the new ones that have come, like it's really been interesting to watch and see. So they'll continue to come as well.
Absolutely.
I will say I didn't mention what a lot of people probably thought I would, which is like advertising in a magazine, which is your stereotypical advertising revenue or expense. However, I think you should do that, but I think that you should just think critically in terms of your goals and all of that. So I know that you had shared your audience. A lot of them are probably in business less than 10 years. And so that often means a different advertising budget than a lot of older businesses. And if they're small businesses, like it totally makes sense. Your audience may not be a national audience. You know, you may not be a fit to go in some of those print publications. So I'm definitely not saying to overlook it. Instead, I'm just saying, consider these other three as you think about your advertising and don't just go to what seems natural and what seems to always have been done. And then, of course, like I said in the beginning, local. Don't forget to think local for your business, because that can have really good impact too.
That's some great advice. And I think magazines, as many of us know, there's still a lot of people who are reading magazines, and there are your major magazines out there that most equestrians are still reading or receiving in the mail, which is great. However, they're probably not cheap if they're a major magazine, like if you're talking like Horse Illustrated or something like that. Like the advertising probably isn't going to be necessarily right in the budget you're looking for as a newer business owner. So that's definitely something to factor in. And it depends on your product, on your service. If you're someone that's just giving like lessons or boarding on a local level, something that's more nationwide isn't necessarily the right fit for that kind of business. So there's a lot of factors to keep in mind when it comes to that. So where can people find you online, Denise, if they want to hear more?
Yes. So How to Market Your Horse Business on Facebook. And then also Storm Lily Marketing is on Facebook and Instagram. And that's how you find the podcast too. How to Market Your Horse Business.
Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been some great advice about advertising. And if anyone has any questions for Denise, definitely visit her Facebook pages, because she's got a lot of great content there that can help you market your horse business. Wow, Denise shared some really great tips about advertising in today's episode. Speaking of advertising, if you've been looking for more ways to promote your horse business, I'd like to invite you to join the Leadline's free Facebook community. The Leadline community is a great space to network, promote, and yes, even advertise to other equestrians who are ready to hear more about what you have to offer. You can learn more by visiting us at theleadlinepodcast.com/group. That's theleadlinepodcast.com/group, and start networking today. I'm Mandy, and I'll see you next time.